Welcome again to another edition of Hanging Out with Ted Bouquet. We like to sit back, relax, and just kick our feet up. And today, I'm hanging out with a guy that will make you laugh. Truly, truly laugh. David Wilk, one of the founders of 4-Day Weekend. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. How fun is this?
It's a lot of fun. Fun for everybody.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. This is fun. Your voice transports me. I've heard it for so many years.
My voice transports you?
It does. It transports me in time. I've heard it for so many years that I'm like, man, am I in my room listening to the radio? Am I driving in my car? It's like an old friend.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think, like I've told you the story before, when I went to a 4-Day Weekend here down in Lower Greenville for a birthday party. So the lady who was having the birthday, she said, oh, just come on, you'll enjoy it. And I went, and I'm, okay, we're standing around, happy birthday to you, and all that kind of stuff. And so the show is about to start, and I go and I sit down, and I'm like, it's really hard for anybody to really make me laugh. So I'm one of those people, like, you've said before, that just sit there with his arms folded looking like, okay, make me laugh. And in about 5 minutes, I'm on the floor, and I'm like, this is fantastic. I had no idea I would have so much fun.
Oh, that makes me happy to hear. And I love first-timers that don't know anything about the show and think it's going to be stand-up, which, it is not stand-up. It is a completely improvised show with an ensemble of comedians that take audience suggestions straight from this Post-it note board that the audience has come in, had a few drinks, and just starts being creative on their own and sticking it on this board. So when we hit the stage, we have no idea what's on that board or what the show is going to be about. It's just as fun for us.
How can you make something funny out of something that's stuck on the board? I mean, you could get anything from, hair dye, peanut brittle, my mother loves me or my mother hates me. Oh, you can get anything on there. How do you take that? And that's what's so good about it. You take it and you make it improv. You're not standing up, in front of an audience doing a routine. Anything could happen. Somebody could yell from the audience and say something.
Oh, that's the way it works. I mean, it is, it's never been done before, never been done again. It's just the ultimate you had to be there moment. And, we just make this connection with the audience. And, the audience is just a big part of the show's success as we are. I mean, you can have an amazing audience with incredible suggestions. And then sometimes, it's like, oh, okay. That's what she said. Okay, great. We've only seen that a million times, but we'll try and do something different with it just for our sanity.
How can you sit there and just pull something out of your ear just like that?
A misspent youth. I mean, this is what we do all day long, you understand, for years. I mean, if we had to, let me just say, thank God the 4-Day Weekend show is popular, and thank God it's been running for 24 years, because this is it. There's no plan B. I mean, if this show didn't work, we were in trouble. Thank you, Dallas-Fort Worth.
How did you get started? How does a comedian get started, from being a guy who's funny at home or what?
Yeah, it's funny because my family, they don't think I'm funny. Like, now, I've been married to the same woman since college, so we're 20-plus years. And I remember, Ted, I remember the first I love you phase. She loved me for three reasons. She would say, I love you because you're so witty and you're so spontaneous and you're so funny. Well, guess what? I'm the same guy. But witty has turned into smartass, and spontaneous has turned into irresponsible, and funny has turned into you think you're so funny. But I'm like, I'm the same guy. She's like, I know, you haven't grown up at all.
But where did this get started? Like, were you like in school and, all of a sudden, you realize, I can get, with my wit, can take me through a whole lot of different stuff.
Man, I made in junior high, I made the hottest girl in school laugh, and she became my friend, and then that blossomed, and it was all because the short little funny guy. Take that, big dumb jocks. Short little funny guy's got the hot girl. I go, this comedy thing's where it's at.
Okay, what did the jock say? Because, you know, the hottest girl in school, you know, you expect the quarterback or the star, you know, basketball player or somebody like that to grab her, right?
Yeah. You know what? They wanted to know the secret, so they would hang out with me, and I was funny, and it was a defense mechanism. And, man, I was a chameleon. I could hang out with the jocks. I could hang out with the stone. I mean, you know, funny's funny, so it just worked.
So you could hang out with the jocks, the stoners, the slackers, and everybody.
Everybody, yeah, yeah. Funny's funny. You know, I could find a connection with every one of those groups. So that's where it started. It started off, you know, young. I just liked the way it made me feel, and then I just dove into it. I mean, Dad, we used to have these things called records, albums, not ones and zeros flying through space. So I would put comedy albums on and lay on my floor in that shag carpeting and listen to them. I could repeat any of the Steve Martin or the Richard Pryor, or Lenny Bruce. Oh, I mean, I just loved it so much. I was like, I want to do that.
So that's where you decided to make people laugh.
Yeah, I want to make people laugh. I like the way it makes me feel, and quite honestly, I like the way it makes them feel. You know, and then as I got a little older and realized, it's not just silly. It's really helping people. These people are enjoying this. This is giving them a break from their life, and you know, when people decide to put down their money and make plans and get a babysitter and go to dinner and come to our show, you know, it's not a $25 comedy ticket. It's a $200 night with dinner and babysitter, and I take that very heavy on the responsibility. I mean, if they're choosing to, they may only get out one time a month, one time every 2 months, right? I mean, life's expensive, and if you choose to come to 4-Day Weekend, hey, we owe it to you, man. We're going to give you everything we got. It's a court gesture cap, I guess. I don't know. I love it. So it's just a blast.
Okay. You decide to be a comedian. Where do you go to, you know, to get your craft the way you want it? You know, it's an art form. So where do you go to work on that where you're not just standing up, you know, and you miss, you know, cues and, you know, when you could have got this and said, if I'd have kept going, that would have been even funnier. Where do you go to work on that?
You know, Ted, there's 1,000 shows that were like that were bad, right? I mean, if you look back in the beginning, you know, I've done 6,500 shows.
What? Wait, what?
I've done 6,500 shows. Now, imagine 90% of them are good. That's a pretty good hit ratio, right?
Yeah.
But that still leaves 650 bad shows. a sane person would have quit after 10 of them.
Well, I'm dazed and confused now. It's like, okay, you really have to love what you're doing to go through 650 shows, even though, you know, 90% is your success rate. You still got to, that takes a lot of balls to do that.
Yeah, well, it's an evolution. You know, you got to put in your 10,000 hours. You know, the athletes practice, the doctors go to med school, the comedians put in the stage time. In the beginning, when people wouldn't laugh, I would freak out, you know, and get all self-conscious. And now when I say something and it doesn't get a laugh, I think, huh, how can 250 people be so wrong?
Oh, so you never lose your confidence?
Not anymore. I mean, it's just, you know, it's bitter. It's like, well, okay, if it didn't work, it didn't work. You know, that's what's so great about the 4-Day Show. It moves fast. Oh, you didn't like that? We're on to something else. Here we go.
Okay, what about the lady or the man who's got this blind date or the first date, and, you know, and everybody's all nervous, and, you know, you meet, well, at the 4-Day Weekend. Why not meet in the parking lot?
Hey, you are dead on. Your instinct. I can't tell you how many, we are like the king of first dates. I can't tell you how many people come back over and over and over with new dates. We're like, I recognize you. I'm not going to blow it for you, but I know we're your go-to place, right? And I just got an email today, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm not lying. Today, a woman emailed me and said, our first date was at 4-Day Weekend, and we're getting married. And I was wondering, I know your theaters are still closed to the 14th, but would you mind if we could take photos, our engagement photos, in your comedy club? I was like, are you kidding me? We'd be honored. This is great.
Really?
You know, and after so many years, man, we are the go-to, we're the anniversary, we're the out-of-town guests, we're the birthday. You know, we're that celebratory night where you know you're going to have a great time.
okay, guys, ladies too, especially, if you get this date and you know you're going like, I don't know if this is going to work or not, I might have to bail on this, you could always make the suggestion. 4-day weekend is the place we need to be. And if you go and this guy or this woman does not laugh, you probably need to leave them in the parking lot.
Hey, we're the barometer. If you bring a date here and they don't like it, run. That is a red flag.
So people come for anniversaries and first date was at your club?
I can't tell you how many people I'll run into after the show. You know, we'll do a little after party or meet and greet. How many people say, I've been to your show 60 times. I've been to your show 70 times. My wife and I come here every birthday. This is our go-to date night. I just love that. I love being that destination.
That is totally relevant. Well, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
Okay. We've been shut down basically for a year. What have you been doing, you know, to stay, keep your chops up, as we like to say, or, you know, what have you been doing to do your thing?
It's a great question. We, you know, we own and operate two theaters, one in Sundance Square. That's been there for 23 years. One on Lois Greenville. It's been here for 3 years. And once COVID hit and we had to shut down, I mean, it was trouble. I mean, every theater in the country is struggling. Well, we make our money one of three ways. We put on a great show, we have a training center, and we do corporate events. And we realized, okay, two of those three are going away. Corporate events still need to happen. Let's pivot early. And that's something that improv teaches you. You got to be able, flexible and move and pivot. And we took these empty theaters and converted them into virtual studios. Hmm. So we're emceeing and hosting and doing awards banquets virtually for all our corporate clients. So financially, we weathered the storm. So we're fine. And when we come out on May 14th and the revenue comes back from sold-out houses plus the virtual stuff, man, we're coming back guns blazing.
Didn't you tell me that the people down in Lower Greenville and in Fort Worth, too, that, you know, when people come in the restaurants and stuff and, you know, they're kind of like, hey, what is it to do around here, you know? And they say, hey, go down the street the 4-day weekend.
Honestly, word of mouth is our best advertising. And we've always had a great relationship with the service industry. You know, they're always, you know, hey, they can be my guest anytime because we know. Hey, we're having drinks, we're having dinner. What's there fun to do around here? They always say, oh, you got to go to 4-day weekend. So much so that when everybody got shut down from the early in the pandemic, we're talking a year ago, March, we did it was called 4-Day for Good. And it was a fundraiser for the service industry night. And we did it virtually. And we raised $16,000. And we went to Sundance Square, and we went up and down Lois Greenville, and we just handed out all $16,000 of that to the service industry.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was just a blessing we were in a position to do it. And the hugs and tears and all the letters we got from what an impact that made, it felt pretty special. Now, granted, we've been closed a year. We sure could have used that fundraiser for ourselves in hindsight. But the point was, we did a good thing.
Yes. You did what you were supposed to do. And not everybody does that. A lot of people go like, you know, whatever. But you gave back to the community. We always hear people talk about local this and local that and give back to the community. So I'm going to say this. When we really open up, make sure you go to the little small stores that really have been struggling during the pandemic and put your money in their pocket, because the big corporations, all the fat cats, they can just sit back and they can keep going. But the mom and pop restaurants or whatever it may be, they need your money.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, come to Lois Greenville, have a great meal, and then walk on over to 4-Day Weekend. And, you know, we're going to be limited capacity. We got all the safety protocols for social distancing. Our theater seats 158. We're going to cut it in half and do half capacity. Everybody's spread out. So it's really going to be a fun, safe alternative to watching the last bit of Netflix you haven't seen.
You know, I'm going to tell you this. People tell me, it's Netflix, Netflix. And I've got it on my TV and I can look at my remote control and it'll go like, hey, you want to watch Netflix? And it's like, what is it with this TV remote control? I have never signed up for Netflix. I, you know, heard it's like, okay, well, this is on and that is on and that is on. It's like, okay, I think I'm going to do something different and try to find a different form of entertainment, you know, instead of Netflix. People have told me, it's like, hey, I've watched everything that Netflix has to offer, and there ain't nothing else to look at.
Yeah, and I think people are tired of that, and I think it's going to be like the Roaring Twenties. We're going to be safe about it. We're not going to be greedy. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to work twice as hard. We're going to put on multiple shows a night at half capacity. So we'll be working double duty, but keeping everybody safe and keeping everybody entertained for sure.
What's in the future once you get up and get rolling again?
May 14th. Tickets go on sale May 1st for both theaters. And as of today, we're going to do half capacity. We'll take a look-see because we still have about 5.5 more weeks and see where everybody is as far as CDC guidelines. You know, the cast will be vaccinated, and, you know, we'll have all protocols in place, and we're ready to roll. Who's ready to laugh? Come on out to 4-day weekend. Let's do this.
So did you keep all of your players while you were shut down?
Yeah, you know what? We did. I'm knocking on wood. So, you know, we were fortunate enough with the corporate work that we were able to keep our performers fairly busy, and they're all coming back. And, you know, some of these guys have been with us for, you know, 15 years, and they're just incredible performers. And all your favorite faces will be back, both in Fort Worth and in Dallas.
As a matter of fact, I saw Troy on a commercial with Dak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Troy, that guy, man, he cleans up. He's on every commercial. That guy's done more commercials. You know, once you know him, you're like, oh, there's Troy. Oh, wait, there's Troy. There's Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's killing it. He's doing great. So, and he is a funny, funny man. He's one of the founders from way back in the day. Three of us put in $700 back in 1997, and the goal was to do a 6-week run. February 28th was 24 years, so it's a pretty good $700 investment.
That's a good $700 investment, considering you can't put, I don't think you can put a price on a laugh to make somebody feel good, to get away from life for a little while, to, you know, just kind of forget about whatever's going on and go laugh.
Yeah, and that's what we say. You know, funny is funny. Look, we're not going to be political. We're not going to be dirty for dirty's sake. I mean, it's just people from, you know, 21 to 80 come to the show, and they all have a good time, and the show's politically agnostic. We're not here to teach or to judge. It's just like, hey, let's put that aside. We're all humans, and we all want to laugh. Just write down Peanut Brittle. We'll sing a song. You'll be blown away.
How can you make Peanut Brittle funny?
I know. We were laughing about the craziest things that we've had to make funny. After a show, we'll have a drink and go, what? What? Funeral vaults? What? Cement funeral vaults? How the heck did we make that funny? You know.
I've got to tell folks that this is our third try at this interview today. This is our third try. Tell them about your, of course, we're not going to mention any companies, but you want to tell them about the journey we went through to even get to where we are right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying this podcast because the work that's gone into this. This morning at 10:30, we get on. I'm in my home, bad connection. It's no problem. I'll go upstairs. I'll get out of my office. I'm upstairs. Can you hear me? Great. 5 minutes later, can't hear me. You know what? Let me get in my car. I'm going to drive to Tietze Park. We'll drive to the park. We'll have to park. This has been the planes, trains, and automobiles of podcasts. But here I am on an old Radio Shack landline phone that I found in storage. I hooked it up at the theater, and I literally, it has a cord. I'm on a cord to a little phone that's plugged into the wall. This is old school right here.
Can you imagine if you gave that phone to a 12-year-old and said, okay, make a phone call?
Yeah. Make a phone call.
Can I text on it? No, you can't text on it.
I want to take a picture. Okay, good luck.
Well, no, you can't do that either, but it's just taking us back in the day when I remember when people had party lines. You know, you pick up the phone and then somebody be talking, you know, and you'd be like, okay, you need to get off the phone. I need to make a phone call. And, you know, tell them, Miss Johnson, will you get off the phone, please? Because I really need to make this phone call. You don't tell me when to get off the phone. I'll kick your ass next time I see you. I'm going to tell your mama and I'm going to tell your daddy. And so you kind of go like, okay. And then you went from the phone, you know, that was rotary, the one that had the push buttons. And then we all had the little princess phone, you know, that was a little pretty one, you know. And I remember picking up a phone. I saw this on Facebook, and I'm repeating this. I remember picking up a phone without knowing who was on the other end, and I'm still alive today.
Yeah, you remember that? We were excited with the phone rang, and now we're like, oh, God, who? I don't know. I don't recognize this number.
Yeah, and then, you know, you had the cord. You know, you had the little short cord at first. Then when you get to be a teenager, you know, you're talking to your woman, talking to your guy, you know, and you got this long cord that goes down the hall, around the corner, outside, in the tree, you know, and then mom and dad come in, and it's like, where's the phone? And they just point towards your room. Can you get off the phone? I really need to use it. And then you got to roll up all that cord to get back into the front of the house.
I think we're dating ourselves, but yeah, I remember those days. My children would laugh. My children call me grandpa. I'm like, dude, I'm young. I am young. How dare you?
Your children call you grandpa because you remember all that stuff?
Yes, yes. Well, they're teenagers, so they mock me incessantly. And as a father, I'm disappointed. But as a comedian, I'm like, well, that's a pretty good burn, dude. Well done.
Well, David, it's been fantastic to talk to you. It's we went through an adventure, like you said, plane, trains, and automobiles, and I didn't know we were going to make it. I mean, we started out really good, and then it got bad, and then you went down to the park.
I'm glad we made it work. I appreciate your time, times three.
Yeah, times three. Now, tell everybody what you need them to know about 4-Day Weekend.
Hey, go to 4dayweekend.com. We are open Sundance Square and Lois Greenville. Fantastic date night, fantastic girls night, guys night, showtimes. We'll be on the website. Tickets are available May 1st. It'll be every Friday and Saturday. Love to have you guys out. You'll have a blast.
I look forward to walking into your place again and sitting down. And don't you call me up on stage.
No promises, man.
No. We were talking earlier today. And you were like, I'm going to get you up on stage. And I'm like, no, you're not. Now, I don't mind doing it when you're talking in front of people about rock and roll and music and everything like that. But being funny is scary.
Well, all right, we'll do the heavy lifting on the funny. You just keep the rock and roll flowing. Deal?
I will do my best. Hey, brother, good to talk to you. I'm glad I got a chance to finally get an interview with you. I've been after you for months trying to get this straightened out, and I know you've been busy.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. We'll do it again.
We sure will. David Wilk, one of the founders of 4-Day Weekend, and we've been hanging out with Ted Bouquet, and, man, I've had a blast. Thank you, David.
Yeah, my pleasure. Take care.